ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We got a lot more videos, stories, hearings to get into, but let's finish up since Josh Hawley was questioning Keith Ellison, Attorney General of Minnesota, and quoting him verbatim from when he was secretly recorded conspiring with the very people that were later busted for carrying out a multi-million dollar fraud for Feeding Our Futures, just one of a number of frauds in the billions and tens of billions of dollars that the Somali community was running with full cooperation with the government of Minnesota, just like they're in full cooperation with the funneling $60 million of support to Antifa that is, you know, funded and kept going. All of the protest riots that have resulted in two people dead, like, they're in all of this. So what are we doing? So what are we doing allowing them to continue to do this? It's crazy. So here's the other audio. We just heard the first one where, again, like, you cannot get more blatant than this unless they were like, we're criminals and you're, as the cop, you're going to protect us from investigation, right? Keith Ellison, like, if only you give me money. Like, short of just outright admitting it, that's what they're doing. Our community really needs to make sure that we're able to operate our businesses, you know, and without interference from other people. And he's like, well, you know, I need to be able to know I'll be elected. I mean, it's just obvious. All right. So here's the even more obvious example of him saying that he's going to basically go to war against the investigators on behalf of the criminals. Let's watch.
I'm very concerned about it. Mm-hmm. I don't run the agencies.
Absolutely, yeah.
But let me just finish by saying, but often the agencies call on my lawyers to represent them. Mm-hmm. And so it's good that we're talking because we've been in a series of conversations with Jody Harpstead as mm-hmm. late as a week ago mm-hmm. on how you cannot crunch down on these. Because here's the thing, is as big as you are collectively, most are pretty small. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're running small, tiny businesses out of business mm-hmm. over nothing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you think there's a problem, I mean, look, everybody has to comply with what the rules are. Mm-hmm. But if somebody submits something that's not in the right format, then you call them and say, this is not in the right format. Mm-hmm. Not, you're out. Mm-hmm. You're done. Your contracts are over. Mm-hmm. And so this has my attention. I'm extremely frustrated by it. But we are in the middle of a battle with mm-hmm. the agencies now. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this. Walls agrees with me that this piddly, stupid stuff running small people out of business is terrible. But it's the problem of, like, it's the problem of, you know, it's the classic problem. If he's here and this guy here is giving these businesses a hard time, this guy, these folks somehow say, hey, they're picking on me. And he's like, oh, us? No, we're not. And so it's this back and forth. So now what we got to do is make it clear that this guy has got to stop it. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's the problem. But he knows that there's a lot of unfair, discriminatory stuff going on with East African businesses. Mm-hmm. I know it. These department heads, like, you know, Julie Herbstead, now know that we know it. Mm-hmm. And she says, we're going to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe it until you tell me mm-hmm. they've stopped doing it. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about when the rubber hits the road, right? Or the car, you know, what's going to happen then? You can say you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. But if some sister who just opened her childcare business is mm-hmm. getting the runaround,
absolutely,
then for her, it's real. So we've got to stay specific. Mm-hmm. There will be cases that, you know, I want you to feel free to call me directly. Mm-hmm. You know, feel free to call me directly.
He's literally talking to, quote unquote, East Africans, that is Somalis, about how their child care businesses were being targeted for investigation and being shut down, and saying, here's my number, you work with me and we'll intervene and make sure this doesn't happen because they're harassing y'all. He's talking to people who were later convicted for scamming $250 million through the exact programs he's describing protecting. Throw him in prison!
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Don't show me clips from Pulp Fiction. I might get ideas. I might get some very good ideas, some very tempting ideas from such a violent movie. I don't think I need that input right now. My God. I mean, can you just imagine any other circumstance? You go to the cops and you're like, this credit card company charged me $100,000. They emptied my bank account totally fraudulently. Here's all the receipts and here's an audio recording of them being like, let's empty his bank account illegally. Let's drain all of his money and you protect us because you're the cop. Like, you present all that evidence. The cops are like, don't worry, we got it. They bring the guy in and they go, you shouldn't have done that. And he goes, I didn't. And they go, but you should be ashamed of yourself. And he goes, yeah, but I'm not. And they go, all right, you're free to go. We did all we could, ma'am. Ma'am, we really tried to get him to admit that what he did was not good, but he says he didn't do it. I know you have all the evidence we could ever possibly need. It's really incontrovertible. He absolutely did, but he says he didn't, and he's not ashamed. So, shoot. Anyway. Are you going to vote for him next time? So, okay. That's just what we're dealing with. So, like, yeah, I don't know what the plan is if nothing happens here. And again, this is all tied in together. This is absolutely the exact same people that, in order to cover up for their endless crime, started riots that ended up getting two people murdered and allowed the funding to go on, which, of course, is hugely illegal. Doesn't matter, I guess. So, I don't know. Eventually, we're going to get to a point where we stop talking about how the system doesn't work, and that just gets absorbed into the public consciousness, and we just don't even bother to go that route. We go a much more efficient route that I approve of. Should we keep going? Should we keep, you know, looking into to how things are going on the old law and order front? Because, again, I was told that Tom Homan withdrawing all of the ICE agents from Minnesota was somehow a victory for us. Seems to me like an abject failure. Seems to me like we've been run out of town by the foot soldiers of a bunch of rampant criminals. That's what it looks like to me personally. So I'm not sure how people are trying to spin this or why they think this reflects well. I guess what the argument is that, like, so much came out about Tim Walz and Keith Ellison being involved in this. Like, maybe that was part of the negotiation. Because remember, he sent Tom Homan in, and Tom Homan actually got Tim Walz to allow the local cops to be peacekeepers and, you know, protect ICE agents. And so that was sort of treated as a victory. But, like, no, all of these people need to be in prison. There's no victory short of Keith Ellison and Tim Walz and Mayor Frey and all of the funders of all of the riots and all the rioters themselves. They all have to go to prison, and all of the Somalis have to be expelled, and all of the migrants that have arrived in the last 10 years have to be forcibly deported. That's the victory conditions that we have to achieve. Anything short of that is a failure in my book, and not just a failure, but a failure that encourages further attacks. Really worse than a failure. Like, you can still fail in a way that makes your enemy be like, all right, we may have won, but let's not do that again. We got out of that with our heads on our shoulders, but maybe we take a different tactic next time, right? There's such a thing as a Pyrrhic victory. But that's not what they're just getting an absolute victory. They're driving ice out. The ice stopping, you know, activists are still out there, still on the streets, still putting up fake roadblocks to harass random citizens. They're like, yeah, but they arrested 10,000 migrants. Like, okay. And it's more than zero, I guess, but it's about 1,000 times less than it should be. So what's the victory here? What is it exactly? Because it's these exact same people. And the left's strategy is not hard to figure out. And I don't know why it works so well. It's called incrementalism. And it's the same every damn time. It's the same thing with the seditious six, where they start off going too far, I would say, saying, hey, you don't have to follow illegal orders. Already just obviously in violation of the statute. Of course, they actually tried to get a grand jury for that. Here's another layer of issues. They try to get a grand jury in Washington, D.C. about an issue that was hugely publicized everywhere for months in an extremely partisan way. So our jury, you know, the voters won't vote out politicians even when they're proven to be corrupt. And the juries won't convict politicians even when they're proven to have broken the law. What do we do here exactly? Again, there's no, to me, there is no debate about any of this. Right? I mean, if the law says you're not allowed to try deliberately to encourage soldiers to disobey orders, and then you have six people make a video where they say in no uncertain terms, you should disobey orders. I think they're guilty. I think they've broken the law. Why is it so hard to enforce the law? Why is it so utterly impossible for us to enforce any laws on these people? Like, what are we doing? I'm going insane not being able to say what I really think, because I really can't. Because you're not allowed to call for specific violence. But you can talk about wanting to call for violence and not being able to. A little loop I've discovered. A little loophole I'm taking advantage of. But I don't want that. Like, literally all I want is for the criminals to go to prison. It's all we want. It's all we've ever asked for. It's all we've ever demanded. And every time the Trump administration acts like they're doing it, and then does absolutely nothing, which is worse than actually doing nothing. Last year, the Trump administration designated Antifa a domestic terror organization. Since then, nothing else has happened. Nothing else has happened. There's been no major arrest. There's been no RICO case. There's been no investigation into their funding mechanisms. There's been no rounding up of their leadership. They were declared domestic terrorists. And then they all laughed at that and continued to accelerate and escalate their violence. So why did you declare them domestic terrorists? What is going on here? At this point, they're so brazen with all of this that they're like following high-level ICE people home and harassing their family. And nothing is being done to them. Do we have to wait until one of them is killed? And why would we have to wait until one of them is killed? Because they have already attacked ICE officers in militaristic ways. They've already shot at ICE officers multiple times. They've tried to run ICE officers over with their cars. And then when you send somebody to harass them at their family's home and harass their families, they don't need to actually do anything. The harassment alone is terrorism. with all of the other context, especially, you don't need the other context, but with all the other context of all of the other assassination attempts against ICE officers, that there have been like half a dozen. There have been trials. People have been sent to jail because they set up ambushes and tried to kill ICE officers. With all of that, having people show up to your home is enough to make some people say, you know what, I quit. I'm not going to do this. I don't deserve this. My family doesn't deserve this, and it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. And that's the purpose of the violence. It's terrorism. It's to convince the people that are engaged in the activity that we voted for to not engage in that activity because the people that didn't vote for it lost and now want to use violence and intimidation to get their way because they lost the ballot box. Why are we letting them? And how long are we going to take this? So I've got some videos about that. And it's, again, all tied up and together. And it's all the exact same people doing all of this stuff. Let's go to clip. I got a lot here. Let's go to clip 7 here. ICE director Todd Lyons just revealed leftists posted videos of his wife walking to work after publicly calling for him to be killed. This is what our tolerance of the incrementalism has allowed. They start off with something vaguely couched in some sort of American value. And then they, when you don't call it out for what it is, which is all you need to do. And it's what they do. Again, they don't wait. It's just like, okay, you're trying to whatever. You know, you're trying to incite violence against ICE officers. You should go to jail. We don't have to wait for the violence to happen. You don't. Okay, you're trying to stop the army from following orders. You're trying to disrupt the chain of command. You should go to jail. What are we doing? But we don't send them to jail, so then they're putting up billboards that say, if you're in the army and want to disobey orders, get in contact with us. We'll provide lawyers for you. And then you've got mayors in California saying, you know, maybe the stand your ground law counts against ICE officers. Maybe you should arm yourself and shoot them if they try to come get you. And so they're going to keep incrementally raising the temperature until you physically stop them. I'm sick of saying this. Let's go to clip 7 here.
So talk about the violence, the threats, the doxing against ICE officers. Because, again, that's where I've got a great deal of sympathy for people trying to enforce the law. They've been shot at. They've, you know, had their vehicles rammed, rocks thrown at their vehicles, doxed. You know, on Central America, I found out that if you're become a new police chief, you get a DVD from the friendly drug cartels with your children and wife going into school and going to church. I mean, it's an explicit threat, hands off, or we're going to do something. Well, there's such a demand for unmasking ICE officers, but they've been doxed. So just talk about the violence, the threats, the doxing that your law enforcement officers are really under.
So, sir, it's day to day. If you know, I was the field office director for the state of New England. I covered all of New England. And if you looked at the beginning of the operations, beginning to, you know, January 20th up until April, ICE officers and agents weren't masked. But it's bad. And I'll just use myself as an example. The week that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was a tweet that went out. It said, kill Charlie Kirk, kill another. There was another individual in that, kill Todd Lyons. That's the stuff that I see. Yesterday after the testimony on Tuesday, I went back to numerous death threats against my family. There was a videotape of my wife walking to work that people actively post. The cartels have actually posted the schematics to my home. ICE agents feel that every day. We actually did an operation with the Secret Service where we identified doxers who put up on telephone poles the home addresses and the schools where ICE officers and agents went to. But yet no one covered that operation. We covered that as a success. And I don't want my officers masked. I would work with this committee and any committee to work with holding individuals accountable that dox ICE agents, because ICE agents don't want to be masked. They're honorable men and women, but the threats against their family are real.
Okay, thank you.
So you have somebody whose wife was filmed walking to work, and then that video was sent to him as a threat, and nobody's been arrested for it. And Mexican cartels have uploaded the schematics to his name, to his house, rather. And, of course, his name and identity and everything else. If Trump does not prosecute these people, he's aiding and abetting them. He declared them domestic terrorists. All these people are different shades of Antifa. They all align under that umbrella and should qualify under the domestic terror designation. In fact, I there were talks about, and I'm not sure if it ever went through, calling them international terrorist organizations, which they absolutely are. If Trump doesn't do something to protect ICE, then it's over. And it might just be over already. They're already drawing down from ICE. They're already talking about, mass deportations is too much. We'll just get the criminals in. They're not even getting the criminals. I mean, they're just doing nothing. It's utterly pathetic. Does an ICE agent have to die? Does an ICE official have to have their family murdered before they take it seriously? There's more than enough to round up all of these people. In fact, it's crazier than that. Let's go to clip number 13. As a witness in one of these hearings testifies that the riots that have embroiled Minnesota for the past 2 months were extremely well-funded with tens of millions of dollars from extremely well-known NGOs and other, you know, charity groups. Let's watch.
Your organization specializes in following nonprofit funding and organizational networks. So based on your research, what organizations have been active on the ground in Minnesota? What can you tell us?
Yes, we have tracked over $60 million, according to the latest 990 disclosures, to approximately 14 groups, some of them national, others on the ground. Groups like the ACLU provide the legal defense, as well as facilitate the trainings for some of the tactics that Senator Corin just described. A group named Democracy Forward, Take Action Minnesota, has gotten over $10 million from these large NGO networks, including the Neville Roy Singham Network, Indivisible, National Lawyers Guild, CTUL, the Council on American Islamic Relations Minnesota, CARE, Minnesota 350, Voices for Racial Justice, on and on. Like I said, over $60 million, just according to the latest 990 disclosures.
$60 million, 14 different groups. That sounds like a pretty broad ecosystem here. Where's this money coming from? I mean, how is it flowing to these groups? Do you have any sense?
So we've built a database that contains hundreds of thousands of rows from grants from networks like the Soros Network, the Arabella Funding Network, as mentioned, the Neville Roy Singham Funding Network, many others, Tides, the Ford Foundation Network, the Rockefeller Funding Network, these massive NGOs that have billions of dollars to spend on all kinds of coordinated protest or, in this case, riot activity.
So there are massive billion-dollar networks funding riots to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars, riots that have left two people dead and have, you know, completely upended law enforcement in the state of Minnesota, all in service of covering up the rampant fraud that was carried out in cooperation with these very same networks, as well as being covered up by the very authorities that now have a say in Minnesota. Are you getting a full-fledged picture yet of exactly what we're up against and exactly how easy it would be to take all these people down? It is not legal to send money to rioters who are attacking the cops. What are you talking about? And by the way, all of this, like at least under Black Lives Matter, everything they argue that they were debatably protesting against, you know, American abuses from the American law enforcement against citizens, there is no justification for opposing ICE. There just isn't. They're illegal immigrants. They have deportation orders. It's another video. 1.6 million deportation orders have been unfulfilled, meaning the people went through the entire process, fulfilled their court order, went and had a hearing, presented their case, were denied, were told to deport, and are just still here. 1.6 million people are like that. There is no justification for protesting that. Unless American citizens are being hurt, unless the law is being broken, which it's not. So all you have is billion-dollar organizations and networks paying rioters to attack the police, and we just let it go on for year over year over year, and the people who should be stopping it are just openly in collaboration with them and helping to steal tens of billions of dollars, which, by the way, all these NGOs are also funded with your taxpayer dollars. Again, I can't say what I think we need to do at this point, but talking about it ain't my suggestion. Okay, let's go to this other report again, just showing you how widespread these funds are and the attacks are against ICE and how all of it is tied in together. And for some reason, we just have literally millions of domestic terrorists running around, well-funded by foreign billionaires, by the way. We just have foreign billionaires funding militias attacking our cops for years on end while the authorities in these states are in open collaboration with people stealing hundreds of billions of dollars and then starting these riots to cover it up. Let's go to the Fox News report.
An Illinois man is now charged with doxing and threatening an FBI agent and even the agent's child. Garrett Tenney is reporting live on all of this out of Chicago for us. Hello, Garrett.
Hey, Sandra. Yeah, it's scary that it's not just the federal agents themselves who are being targeted. Some left-wing activists are also now going after those agents' families. Folks at home may remember these images from just a couple of weeks ago when protesters broke into several FBI vehicles that agents had to abandon when they got overrun by demonstrators while they were trying to investigate the shooting of an illegal immigrant. You can see some of the documents protesters found inside that they almost immediately posted online with FBI employees' phone numbers, email addresses, home addresses, and driver's licenses. According to court records, within a day, 10 to 15 FBI agents and employees started getting threatening phone calls, emails, texts, and even suspicious drive-bys at their homes. One agent had around 23 different people contact him with messages like this. I know where your mom lives, bro, and your dad, and your kids, buddy. Get home safe and fast. And this email referencing a specific address. We'll see how tough you are when I firebomb the physical address. But then they took it a step further and tracked down one of the FBI special agent's children on Facebook and sent the child this message. How does it feel to be the child of your dad? Your dad's info leaked online, and I find it incredibly embarrassing that he's FBI, but also so much is available about him and his family. Investigators traced several of those threatening messages to a man outside Chicago in Schaumburg, Illinois, named Jose Ramirez, who, according to the criminal complaint, has a criminal history that includes domestic battery, burglary, and mob action. He's now charged with doxing and threatening an FBI agent. This is not an isolated incident, though. DHS says death threats against federal officers have skyrocketed over the past year, up 8,000%, while assaults on ICE personnel alone have increased more than 1,300%.
And of course, it's all just straight up terrorism. Illinois man accused of threatening FBI agent after info was stolen from government vehicles posted online. Would you be surprised if that person was let go by the jury? I'm not sure I would. I don't know how. Again, folks, we're in a brave new world here, and our leadership is clearly not equipped to deal with the type of people that we're dealing with. The Keith Ellisons, the Tim Walses, the Jacob Fries, and the inordinate, just unbelievably gigantic and well-funded network of literal domestic terrorists. I think that's all I can legally say. I think I'm going to advise myself to stop right there. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll get back to the other side. And I'll try really hard not to advocate lynching a bunch of people, okay? I promise I'll try my hardest not to do that at all.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at theolishowstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexshowstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at TheAlexShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. So we don't get too black-pilled by the utter and unrelenting incompetence or deliberate failure of the Trump administration to do anything to get a handle on the Civil War conditions that we refuse to even acknowledge for some inexplicable reason. I'm going to take a break from that. We have an anniversary today, actually. This is the 17th anniversary of one of the most powerful speeches ever made on the floor of the Congress by Senator Dr. Ron Paul. And then he also went on Tucker Carlson yesterday. So let's start with clip 14 here. 17 years ago today, on February 12th, 2009, Ron Paul gave a speech in Congress that has since been dubbed the What If speech, and it just shows you the path we could have taken all the way back in 2009, and it just shows you that there were people around who knew what the deal was, if they'd been followed, if they'd been listened to, if they'd been allowed to institute their policies. You can only imagine what the world would look like now. You can only imagine what we would have avoided. And that includes the migrant crisis that's destroying Europe, the migrant crisis that's destroying America, as well as all the Middle East wars taking trillions of our dollars, ruining our reputations overseas. You can only imagine the world that could have been if we'd only listened to Ron Paul. Here he is.
I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and it turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good. And I yield back the balance of my time.
Ms. Woolsey from California.
So, again, just shows the prescience and foresight of the great Dr. Ron Paul. And it's amazing. I was 17 years ago, and the man is still going strong. God bless him. Let's go to clip number 31 here, just a short clip from his interview with Tucker Carlson that was published yesterday. Let's go to clip 31 here. Ron Paul says, America is in a moral crisis, and as a country, we've been going in the wrong direction for a long time. Let's watch.
But I also recognize that the world is imperfect, and we're not going to see a perfect society. You just have to sort of help guide it in certain directions. And the freer we are, I think, the better. The more tyranny we have, the worse off we are. But it takes a moral understanding of what our relationship should be with the government. And that's where it gets touchy, because people want to use it of the few. Want to own control, the deep state, whoever they are. They're the ones who, controls the politicking and the, all the legislation and the spending, but that's coming to an end. We're broke, and everybody's starting to know it. Even though we knew it was broke, and that was my discovery in that in 1970, when Bretton Woods broke down, you know, and 1970, and when Nixon gave that speech, I knew that, but it took a long time. We were so wealthy, we were spoiled, and we could defy the principles of liberty and decency because we were so rich, and still are rich. We're still consuming, but we're not producing. I mean, we have a moral crisis, but that's where I'm optimistic because I think that number is growing. And I think there are a lot of young people looking at it differently. I think our technology is helpful. I think people who have interesting talk shows and get good views off and share some of these views makes it different. And I think there's some very good things going on. And I also accept the idea that perfection is not achievable, but it is definitely available to us to go in a certain direction, and we've been as a country going in the wrong direction for a long time.
Man, if only we could be as sharp at his age as he is. And what an amazing life he's lived. And man, it must be frustrating being right for so long and not ever being listened to. Of course, we know something about that, just not the 70 years that Ron Paul has experienced. But of course, he's exactly right. And, you know, you think of somebody like Ron Paul, you know, the classic libertarian. And you think, you know, something like the Constitution is, you know, holds a sacred position in his belief structure, which I'm sure it does. But, you know, I heard him give a speech not too long ago where basically said the Constitution is not enough. And that's accurate. I mean, the Constitution is an amazing thing, but it is insufficient for governing an immoral people. And we have to recapture the morals before the Constitution can even apply. So the Constitution is almost like a goal to reach for, but that we're not yet worthy of. But I want to go to some more videos of people saying correct and true and powerful things just to try to remind ourselves that there is some courage out there in the world. Let's go to clip 28 here. This is a member of European Parliament, Masaryk, went absolutely nuclear on the unelected EU Commission. And we need to see a lot more of this, folks. Let's watch.
You must have lost your mind. In Spain, they just legalized residence of 500,000 illegal aliens. In France, they throw grenades into hair salons in a broad daylight. In Germany, not a single day goes by without someone being murdered with a knife. In Sweden, for example, you have bomb attack every other day. I can continue, but you just don't care. Those are not real problems for the European left-wing politicians. No, you are going to solve the situation in Minnesota. You are seriously discussing here the rule of law in the United States and criticizing the American government for deporting illegal aliens, for deporting criminals out of their territory in the same time when Western European cities are gradually turning into a war zone. We should do exactly the same. We should deport them from Europe and not legalize their stay. We should listen to them and not what you are proposing to all of us. Everybody can see, you know, you are enemies of Europe. You hate Europe. You hate our nations, and you want to destroy the future for our children. We should stop you. We should defeat you politically if we want to survive. Otherwise, it will be the end of Europe.
Well, he's not wrong. I'll tell you right there. He's exactly right. They really don't care. I mean, they do care. Let me correct that. They care a lot about destroying Europe, and they're very fired up about it, very passionate about systematically dismantling what they inherited from their forefathers, either destroying it completely or, of course, handing it over to the Third World. And by the way, this is a process that can happen fairly quickly. You know, I always warn about South Africa because it's such a pertinent example of the path that we're going, of the promises of a multicultural society and then the reality of what that actually looks like. The, you know, delusion of white people thinking that, you know, we've done something bad and just need to, you you know, help the non-white people, you know, get a little leg up, and then we'll all be equal, only to find stadiums full of their enemies chanting "kill the Boer" as they're systematically raped to death. So these are lessons that we should be learning, as well as, you know, the infinite long tail degradation that a society can experience. And people think that there's some sort of, you know, cliff that you get to and then it all goes crazy, it all falls off the cliff. That's not really the case. It's not how it ever happens. No, a society can degrade pretty much indefinitely. And there's never a moment where it's like normal one day, chaos the next, and everything's, you know, up in the air, free for all. No, the systems just consolidate. They become more hardened and smaller, but, you know, more persistent. And it can continue forever to the point where in South Africa, I can't remember the exact stats, but I'm fairly certain something like 10% or less of the people actually pay taxes, and at least 50% of the entire population has no income and depends entirely on handouts. So, I mean, you can really get it down to a science almost, where you're just maximally exploiting a very small number of people to pay for millions. And again, people don't, I don't think they understand how quickly this can happen. And I have a video that's a collection. Oh, so we actually, okay. Reports indicate that roughly 5 to 6% of the population, or about 1.6 to 2.4 million high-income earners, contribute approximately 75 and 92% of all personal income taxes, highlighting a highly concentrated tax base. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. That is one way of putting it. So 5 to 6% of the population pays up to 92% of the taxes. Now, can you look up how many people in South Africa are, if you scroll down, I saw there was at least 50% of the people pay no taxes, right? Nearly 50% of individuals earn below the threshold, contributing minimal income tax. See how many people live off welfare. See how many people live entirely off of welfare, because I believe it's over 50%. But people don't understand how fast this can happen. Clip 34 here, there's a Twitter account that goes around and simply takes pictures of the same locations in South Africa as other pictures that exist from 15 years ago. So this is a little compilation of the same location 15 years apart. 15 years, not that long, right? 15 years ago, what was that, 2011, right? 15 years ago was the, you know, London Olympics, where they're doing the NHS celebration, where the big ghost chasing all the children around. That wasn't that long ago. You know, Obama's second term. As of 2026, approximately 28 million people in South Africa, nearly 45% of the population, rely on social grants every month. I think it's higher than that. I'm pretty sure it's higher than that. By the way, South Africa still having an immigration problem. Yeah, as bad as South Africa is, they can't keep the lights on half the day. People are still migrating to it because everywhere around them is even worse. Again, you think like at a certain point, it's like, wow, everything's so bad, at least the immigration will stop. No. As long as there's gimmies, as long as there's freebies to be seized, they will come, folks. So we should really be taking this into account and be looking around at your neighborhood, shopping centers and malls and street corners. And you should be thinking, what will this look like in 15 years? Because it could very well be, you know, a pile of dirt and trash and slums if we don't handle this correctly. So let's go to this video, clip 34 here, South Africa 15 years ago versus today, and a compilation of photos. Let's watch. Folks. From not exactly, you know, top of the line conditions, but certainly clean, functional, well maintained, to just dirt and trash and filth, crumbling walls, dead trees, broken cement, piles of tires, muddy water. Like, that's 15 years. It can happen pretty damn quick. Unless you stop it. Unless at any point you choose to not listen to the people whose goal this is. 3 million South Africans pay 90% of income tax. So you can essentially have 3 million people supporting tens of millions of people while everything just degrades back to the Stone Age. And there's no guarantee that we don't go that exact direction. I wonder if we should stick to some of the Europe stuff right now. Well, we might have to get back to that in a little bit. But I didn't want to play that guy because it's just a powerful rebuke of the evil EU system that is very deliberately destroying their entire nation. But let's move on. Let's go to clip 39 here, because this is a parent who is now announcing that he's filing a lawsuit against the school board or the school district for allowing his middle school child to be taken to a ICE protest during school hours without ever informing the parents. And it's this type of stuff that there should be 100 lawsuits against this. And this is not a matter of political will. It's a matter of individual will. And it's a matter of recognizing and like really telling yourself, reminding yourself that in some cases you got to act like a liberal. You got to look at a situation and think, if this was reversed and I was a liberal and what they were doing to me was something as offensive as, you know, how a liberal would interpret it, how would they act? Because you know that the slightest misdeed, according to the liberals, is met with overwhelming force, right? You think back to the Loudoun County situation a couple years ago where, like, some teacher was like, we're going to do, you know, we're learning about slavery, so we're going to do a game where, you know, some of the kids are slaves and, you know, just to inform them whatever it was. But there's nothing racist about it, but just the sheer idea that, you know, black kids would be asked to pretend to be slaves. It's like the NAACP and the ACLU just descended and just like demanded. And actually, in fact, what they did was they demanded that this, again, kind of innocent mistake from a teacher that maybe just wasn't, you know, thinking it through quite so much, was thinking she was doing something fun for the kids, not realizing she was, you know, dancing over a volcano. Little mistake, you know, maybe not the best teaching tool, but I doubt it traumatized the kids at all. But that turned into a demand saying you have to create a new office in the school district to where we get to determine and get to actually vet every single teacher's curriculum throughout the entire school district so that we can guarantee it comports with our ideas. And they got that. They got like a district-wide censor to go in and make sure that all of the lessons were exclusively anti-white. They succeeded in that. And it was nothing. It was just like some game that the teacher played. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got traumatized. Some parents got pissed off with because it was in bad taste, I guess. I think it's in bad taste to show kindergarten kids hardcore cartoon pornography that teaches them to be gay. But we don't act on that outrage, so nothing comes of it. So this parent is doing exactly what we should be doing. There should be 10,000 people doing this because you don't have to let them teach your children lies. You don't have to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, I don't like it, but what are you going to do? Or, you know, I guess I'm going to take my kid out of school now if they're going to be doing stuff like this. No, sue them into oblivion. Force them to contend with your will. Force them to bend to your demands, not the other way around. So God bless this parent, and we need 10,000 parents like this on the march and weaponizing the legal system in the way that it should be used. Let's watch.
It used to be political, now it's personal. Our children are involved. I am sick and tired of watching politicians and school boards, people from the city, telling children they can go out and get, excuse my language, go out and get in the face of law enforcement. Good evening, my name is Vance Kalavi, and on the afternoon of February 2nd, 2026, my 14-year-old child called me. He was not at school, he was not sick, he was in the middle of White Center, Washington, in the middle of a protest that was organized for his middle school. Okay, my stomach dropped when he called me. You guys have noticed that on January 30th, 2026, two children were killed just blocks from the school on Rainier that was having a very walkout that day. RCW 28A600035, allowing them to leave, and under Initiative 2081, the Parental Bill of Rights, I have the right to know where my child goes. That was taken from me. I was not given notice. I was not given an email. I was not given a call. You exposed him to real danger. That's neglect and that's endangerment. RCW 98-42035, criminal negligence by not being aware of the substantial risk. You call it policy? I call it abandonment. I am filing a lawsuit before the Paul Johnson want to make something perfectly clear. Someone's going to be held accountable, but all of you will remember it. Because for some reason we lose our case, we'll make a case law out of this to protect parents' rights to know where our kids are at all times. It's ridiculous. It's criminal negligence. And yes, a principal was fired for coercing students participate in protesting. Just so you know. I had an hour worth of yelling to do, but today I'm going to narrow it down to 2 minutes because you didn't give me enough time. But I will be here at every school board meeting to continue what I had to say today. I am not finished. I yield my time.
Yeah, It is literally criminal. I mean, I would say that's actually kidnapping. I'd say if you go to drop your kid off at school and the teacher, without permission, without asking you, takes them off of school grounds to go participate in something that you are totally unaware of, like that parent goes to pick up his kid at school and the kid's not there, I think that's technically kidnapping. I don't think you're allowed to do that, actually. So, I mean, he's talking about, you know, criminal charges. Like, yeah, there should be criminal charges. They should be sued into oblivion on the personal level. Again, they're not allowed to do that in like a million different ways, obviously. Of course, you're not allowed to do it on the first place. Take kids to a dangerous thing where you can't guarantee their safety during school hours without permission of the, obviously all of that. But in addition, it's in complete contradiction to the beliefs of the parents, and you're forcing a kid to participate in a political action that they don't understand and is at odds with their parents' beliefs. Everybody involved should be punished severely, should at least lose their jobs, should be sued into oblivion, and should probably go to jail for kidnapping. That's what they do to us, folks. Like, what are we doing here? We're going to continue to talk about this in the third hour. I do want to tell you that we have a massive sale right now. Usually my sales are like kind of complicated. This one's simple. It's 52% off everything site-wide. It is a mega sale, and it ends Tuesday night at midnight. Your support keeps us on the air, and we are returning the savings to you. 52% off absolutely everything on the site. So stock up now, folks. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. You get 52% off every product on the site. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-some bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But while you're at it, get Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, TheAlexJonesStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.